It's September 12th, 2018, and Claude Taylor isn't here. Can you believe
Aww.
That?
Because you know why? Because he's too busy blowing up Trump balloons and flying them all over this good country. That's why.
And picking up dog poop with the Trump poop bags.
And we can't be mad at him for that.
Of course not. No, he.
We love Claude.
We penciled him in, and then he forgot and was on a plane. So he's going to be joining us on the 26th. So
perfect.
And he will, because we're going to be tying him up and bringing him to the studio and making sure he's showing up for that. So
well, and the good news about that, if we're going to bright side this, because I was looking forward to talking to Claude, because I always look forward to talking to Claude, but that gives Claude 2 more weeks to do damage against the president. And that, so he's just going to have more to tell us that's going to make us even more giddy.
Well, what's so exciting is that I remember when Trump announced that he was going to be, you know, stumping for Cruz in Texas, that old tweet resurfaced about Trump was, you know, bagging on Cruz and saying how terrible he was and how ineffective he was. So David Hogg tweeted out something like, does anybody know someone who can get billboards made? And, you know, of course, like half the internet tagged Claude,
of course,
including me. And before you know it, the two of them started working together. And within a day, they needed $6,000, and they raised like $9,600. So they've got they got enough money to do a billboard. I also believe, and we can talk to him about this next week, that there's some kind of like riding. There was a truck with it on. I don't know exactly what the deal is, but I just love what he's doing, because it's the best way to resist. You know, it's like, of course we get angry. I get angry a lot and I scream and yell and everything. But I think the best way to resist is to do so with humor, you know, because mm-hmm. not only is it memorable, it's not mean. It's certainly not mean spirited. And
it's reality.
It's reality. And it's humor. You know, it's the best thing to use humor.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
I'm with you, girl.
And I'm so excited because my producer and I hate the word boyfriend, but whatever. My producer and boyfriend got me a desk. So I'm sitting at my lovely desk for the first time in his office. Yay!
He is too good.
Well, I've always had like these makeshift desks with a little like those TV tables and another little table. So now I just have the whole spread and I feel so professional and it's wonderful.
I got to get me another desk.
So let me ask you something. A couple of weeks ago, was it last week? I don't even remember. The weeks go by so quickly. I think it was last week. You were in DC. Of course, I didn't get to see you because of my work schedule. But
I mean, I have to tell you, I understand, but that can never happen again.
I know. Well, these were last minute things, you know, like
I know. Totally. I made the decision on Saturday morning. I'm like, this is too important. I've changed my world up work wise. And right now, you know, we're not destitute in the Dominguez Walton house. Mm-hmm. So that was a good thing. And I looked at my husband. I go, I got to go oppose these Kavanaugh nomination. And I'm going to walk the halls of the Hart Senate building, and I'm going to go to Congress, and I'm going to find me some politicians, and I'm going to try to flip those mofos. You know what I'm saying?
And so you got to stand in front of Senator Collins, who, assistant?
Oh, yeah, that poor kid. So here's, I'll just, you want me to give you the Reader's Digest version of what happened?
I want to hear.
Okay, so I looked at my husband, like, with quiver chin going, honey, I got to do something to stand up. He goes, book it. So I booked it. I booked the flight. I flew out on a Tuesday afternoon, stayed at this really cool little hotel called the DC Pod. The rooms are like the size of a pin, but they're amazing and they're cheap. So there I am. One thing that I will point out is I'm from Oakland, okay? I'm used to urban environments. I'm comfortable. I know how to handle myself in, you know, different neighborhoods and things like that. But So I get there at 11:30 and I'm starving. And I ask the guy at the front desk, "Tell me where I can go get some food close by. I got to eat something." So he goes, "There's a place around the corner right past the metro station, and there's one across the street called Sushi Rock, which has karaoke," mm-hmm. which is kind of perfect for me, but I just wasn't in the mood. Anyway, I go around the corner past the metro station And it was like night of the living dead. I got my purse on, I'm walking, and people are like, it's 1,000 degrees and people are out on the street and they are not, they're wasted.
Wow.
And they've been wasted for a really long time and they don't hesitate to come up to me.
Really?
And I'm like, okay, all right. And I had on like some cute sandals with a heel, kind of big chunky heel. And I'm like, these are not running shoes. These are not, you know, get yourself out of there quick shoes. So I'm just going to be chill. Mm-hmm. And, I made my way through and then I quickly didn't want to run, did the good walk though, wait, and the lights changed. They're like 50 seconds on the crosswalks in Chinatown. And I'm going, could we hurry this thing up? So I just, I'm not panicking. I go, that was the way I started my trip. And I'm like, okay, I got some fried rice. I'm getting into bed. It's good. Got no sleep because I couldn't figure out how to work the freaking air conditioner.
Oh man.
So I'm laying there like naked, like a piece of deli meat under a heat lamp, you know, just like, I get up in the morning, I go meet the NARAL ladies in the atrium of the Senate Heart Building. And there they are and they're ready and they've got their purple shirts on, NARAL ladies and men. You walk in and there are these pathways on the second floor that are like, they're bridges, you know, from one part of the building to the next with glass. So it's actually really a sight to behold when all the walkways have handmaids in red garb with the white hats in silent protest, kind of heads down. I had to stop and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
This is the America I am proud to be a part of, you know? And because we are one step away from that shit. And if this guy Kavanaugh gets appointed, we can really start taking a look at not having access to birth control, not having access to abortion, not being able to make our own health care choices. And that's just as it relates to women. You know, like there's a whole host of other shit that goes awry. If you're a person of color, if you're a person who already struggles, it's just going to get worse for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Under this Kavanaugh person.
I just really hope that this, I hope that Collins and Murkowski.
Well, it was ugly. You know, a week ago, things have changed. I think, I think we're in a better place today than we were a week ago. But so I caught wind from some of the people who were there that you could just go get in line. You know, NARAL was going to be there all day and don't worry about that. You can always come back to NARAL and those NARAL people are working around the clock to fight for us and to fight for our rights.
Yeah.
but I went outside and they're incredible people. Give to NARAL. If you have a couple extra bucks and you want to, you know, give to an organization that busts their butt trying to make women's reproductive rights a thing that we always have, give to NARAL. Yeah. They're a beautiful group. Anyway, I sounded like Trump there. The beautiful, the tremendous
they're tremendous. They're tremendously wet.
They're very tremendous and wet. let me tell you what, we're going to be wet if Kavanaugh is a no vote, right? So, okay, so I go outside. It's 2,000 degrees.
Yes, it is.
And 1,000,000,000% muggy.
Yes.
And we wait in line, and there were so many people waiting to get into those Senate hearings to protest that they had, I must have waited an hour and a half, and they took us in groups of 23. Okay. They give you the official beautiful little card, which I showed you, that says Brett Kavanaugh hearing, you know, so we're waiting, we're getting pumped up. The beahero.com organization, people were out there handing out bail money.
Wow.
Because, and you had to sign a waiver, like who's your point of your emergency point of contact. And if you go to jail, do you have the exact change to get out of jail? And so they give me an envelope with money, with the exact change. I made a donation with what I had in my purse because, please, these people, you know, they're providing lunch. They've got bottled water
That's
for
incredible.
Everybody. It's legit. So my turn comes, and I'm like, if I feel the need to stand up and yell, I'll go to jail because it's Wednesday and my flight out isn't until Thursday, so I know I can get out of jail and go home, right? I did get the insurance on my flight, though, just in case. My husband was pleased I made that decision. So they pull us in, 23 at a time. We're in there. You're making friends with people. So there's this totally hot woman from Norfolk, Virginia. She's like, This shit is real. I came here to DC. I was in jail yesterday, and I got bail money in my pocket today. You gotta love it. Her name was Amanda. Hey, Amanda. And so anyway, I went in with this group, and there was an LGBTQ, I think this person would identify themselves as queer, next to me once we got into the hearings. And so you sit down, and they put us in the back row, of course, but you're right there. Like, there's dumb Lindsey Graham, and there's senile Chuck Grassley, and there's my girl Kamala Harris just sitting there, like, not taking, like...
Yeah.
Not taking any shit. She just shit doesn't take from shit. Anybody. No.
She's totally badass.
No. Amy Klobuchar, like, my heroes are sitting there in front of
just
me.
Just amazing.
Amazing. And so I had the displeasure of being in there when Lindsey Graham was glad-handing Kavanaugh. And it was almost like I thought, am I at like a fraternity rush party where all these white guys from money were saying, my daddy knew your daddy, so you're good enough. I'll tell you what, I don't give a shit what you did in your personal life. I don't care how fucked up it was. You're in.
Yeah, I don't care if you think abortion is, birth control induces abortions. Or
Right. Oh, yes. I don't care how misinformed you are or what kind of propaganda shit you're going to feed to these American people who are too lazy to do the research on their own. You're in. You're a Republican, aren't you? That's what I thought. Hey, by the way, I'm acting like this because the Russians have 30,000 of my private emails, and God only knows what's in those fucking missives.
He also took, I think, 800. We're talking about Lindsey Graham here. Took about 800,000, I think, from somebody in Ukraine who's close to Putin.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, I don't know. Somebody said something along the lines on Twitter of, oh, this is what they've got on them. No, it's not. That's been public for a long time. That's not the stuff they have on Lindsey Graham. Whatever they have on Lindsey Graham is scaring the shit out of him.
That.
Yeah. They're scaring the shit. You know, I saw somebody did this thread, and I'm not going to make any accusations about Lindsey Graham, but somebody had talked about the fact that I guess since the 1980s, Russia has been targeting U.S. politicians with pedophilia content, or whether it's human sex trafficking, underage children, and they're obviously doing that. They're targeting U.S. politicians, and I guess if they can get anybody to, you know, to take a bite, then they can use that against them as blackmail. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if, you know, I mean, this was somebody tweeting. I don't know who it was. So obviously I'm not making any accusations, but I'm just saying that, you know, whether or not it's pornography or child pornography or pedophilia or anything like that, a lot of these Republicans are compromised. We know that the Russians hacked the RNC. So there are emails that, you know, we just don't know what they've talked about privately, because we all know that a lot of elected officials feel like they're untouchable and they get comfortable. Mm-hmm. So who the hell knows what is on these, you know, what these people have, the Russians have against them. But it's not money. It's not just the money that they took, because that's been out there since last year. I think it was Dallas Morning News or Dallas News or something reported on it. I think they were the first site to talk about it. And it was just listing, I think, $7 million from Russia into the GOP. So that's nothing new. But
No.
Anyway, and, so and I'm going off on a tangent here. But,
no, it's,
you know,
okay.
Back to the,
I mean,
Kavanaugh,
just, there's a reason Lindsey went from being someone that we almost were like, hey, I can get behind this guy on a couple things, to what the hell and where is he coming from? It's too drastic. It's too dramatic, his change of heart. You know, from he's a kook who's unfit to be president, to Trump's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah, and then he literally was bagging on the media for calling Trump a kook and being unfit when he said those exact words in 2016. Right. So
he's a Nimrod.
He is.
That's nice.
You know what's really funny? When I lived in Los Angeles, I'm not kidding you either. My car mechanic's name was Nimrod.
Yeah, that's a name, and I've heard that before. I have a really good friend whose last name kind of. The nickname for it is Nimrod.
Well, he was a great car mechanic, by the way, but it was just funny. It was like my mother would always use that term. And then we get a car mechanic that's named Nimrod. It was like you almost feel like you're insulting him by calling by his name.
Hey, Nimrod, great job on the timing belt. Appreciate you. Okay, back to the hearing.
Yes.
And then I'll wrap it up. But so I'm sitting there and Lindsay's doing his vomit. And Kavanaugh's, and then the guy that I'm sitting next to stands up and says, I'm what's at stake. Now, this person's in a wheelchair, shoots up, practically falls to the floor. I'm what's at stake. And I'm like, yes, you go. And they were not shutting up.
Wow.
And the cops come, ma'am, you're under arrest. Put their hands behind the back, start doing it. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, right on. And then they escort us out. And that was that. And that person went to jail. And they had $85 in an envelope in their pocket. It's either 35 to get out of jail or 40, or excuse me, or 50. But either way, they were covered.
Wow.
And back the next day.
Yeah.
Without question. So there are people who are, you know, yes, I had the luxury of getting on a plane and staying in the pod hotel and mm-hmm. going and, you know, hand delivering handwritten letters from people that were there for NARAL, a handwritten letter of my own to Senator Collins and to Senator Murkowski. But this person is living and breathing it. This person's life is mm-hmm. at stake. Yeah. If Brett Kavanaugh is confirmed to the Supreme Court, their healthcare rights are going to dwindle beyond, you know, their life will be in danger. Mm-hmm. It's disgusting what's at stake, and it's disgusting the lengths that the Republican Party will go to preserve their white privilege and power.
Oh, it is
Sorry,
totally
that's
disgusting.
That's how it goes down.
It's upsetting to me. I think, you know, I mean, the things that have upset me during this administration more than anything. The first thing that I was frightened of was North Korea. This was before I even knew what Russia was doing and the involvement and how deep it went. But North Korea scared me. And then we went to the Affordable Care Act. And fortunately, we were able to, you know, John McCain helped save our insurance or the ability to get affordable insurance. That was something that scared me. Now the Kavanaugh hearings are scaring me. And it's not just because of birth control. It's not just because of abortion. You know, frankly, I don't even need either one of those things anymore. I'm old enough to where I don't need that. But it's mm-hmm. not even about that. It's about keeping that alive for future generations. And then it's also about the fact that he doesn't, that, you know, he's questioned whether or not sitting presidents should be investigated. Because according to him, it might hurt the economy. So clearly he was chosen. And, you know, I mean, it's to me, he's very dark. Kavanaugh is dark. He goes an extra, for me, it's an extra step out of the typical right wing extremist judge. Mm-hmm. He's not to me just a simple Koch brother pick. He is, you know, we know that the Trump administration pushed Kennedy out. Well, they didn't push him out, but they wanted him out. And that's normal. Mm-hmm. You know, you have an older justice on the court. You have a president in who wants to fill that position. So they're like, could you please step down so we can get somebody new in to carry on the same thing that you would be doing. Mm-hmm. So that's not something that, you know, I'm going to look at and freak out about. But you throw in the fact that Kennedy's son worked at, I think it was Deutsche Bank or had something to do with Deutsche Bank. I don't trust any of that. I can't say for sure what's going on there, but it doesn't smell good. And then, you know, who do they choose? This man who says, oh, I don't think sitting presidents can be indicted. Duh.
Right.
This is so frightening to me because it goes beyond just our typical right-wing extremist. This is somebody who is probably going to let Donald Trump off. And
take away our freedoms.
Yes.
You know,
it's taking away our freedoms, letting him off, hurting our healthcare. And it's maddening. It's something that it's like, it's causing me anxiety. And normally, like
me
I
too.
Said, I don't get overly anxious about things. Even though I get upset and angry, but this is something that's been really upsetting me. And, you know, both Bob and my mother are, and even a couple of my friends are saying, I think this might go the other way. And it's like, it may go the other way in our direction. And he may not get confirmed, but until it happens, I'm still just going to be freaking out about it because it's like, it doesn't help anything. Exactly. It doesn't help to freak out about it, obviously, but it's just, it's there in the back of my mind and it's my country and it's extremely important to me. So it's really freaking me out. And, you know, I'm hoping that Collins is feeling that pressure, you know.
Well, okay. So I've called Collins a lot. I've been really composed in voicemails I've left her. I've come unhinged. I've shed a tear or two, because I think back to being 17 years old and finding myself pregnant off of a one-off with the love, you know, the first love, mm-hmm. the re-hookup, and then oops, you're knocked up mm-hmm. and you have to go to college now. And you're living at home going to junior college and working in the restaurant at night, and your father's a devout Catholic. And what does this mean for that person who, mm-hmm. who was me, right? And I took care of it. I went to Planned Parenthood and I was in the most loving of ways taken out of that situation.
Right.
I can't even imagine being a young person faced with that same set of circumstances and not having the freedom to make that choice. I would not be here right now.
Yeah. Well, there is a meme that's going around that said something along the lines of like, because of Planned Parenthood, I never needed an abortion. And I've never had an abortion, but I also had the, I was fortunate enough to have Planned Parenthood at my disposal.
Correct.
And frankly, you know, it's funny because the Republicans love to scream about how women shouldn't have access to free birth control, which I actually think they should. I think it should be free. And it was free for me. In times that I needed it to be free. If I mm-hmm. had a job, I didn't go to Planned Parenthood. I would have mm-hmm. insurance and I would go to my regular doctor. Mm-hmm. But there were times where I was either in between jobs or whatever was going on when I was younger and I didn't have a lot of money. And so it's not that I was, you know, I was either in school or whatever I was doing. So I didn't have a job at that point, but I did need to, you know, and it's funny because the times that I got birth control weren't even because I was trying to prevent pregnancy. It was because the first time, well, it wasn't the first time that I went on birth control. That was with an illegitimate doctor when I had my first boyfriend. But mm-hmm. several years, and I'd gone off, and then several years later, I was having such intense cramps that I was bedridden for 3 days. I would literally pass out from the pain of my cramps, and I was a wreck. And birth control turned that all around. I hate birth control, by the way, like the pill. It didn't agree with me. I gained weight. I would be moody, but it certainly helped me when I, you know, was unable. The pain was so severe that I was unable to get out of bed. I shared this story once on social media there was this libertarian guy that I used to be friends with, and he made some jackass comment about if birth control is free for women, then he wanted beer free for men. And so I guess I was the only person who addressed what he had to say in a calm, in a way that wasn't sarcastic to him. So he appreciated that, and that started this conversation. And then some woman on his page, I explained about, you know, the fact that it, you know, it saved me from having such debilitating cramps every single month, literally in bed for 3 days, at least 3 days a month. And there was one night that I woke, it would always be in the middle of the night. The pain was so intense, I could see stars. And I was walking to the kitchen to get Advil, and I like fell. I passed out and I fell and my head hit the wall. And, you know, I mean, so I shared the story, and this woman who I don't know if she was a libertarian or she was conservative, but she said, oh, that's bullshit. That's never happened. It's like, who are you to tell mm-hmm. me, you know? So anyway, I utilized the services of Planned Parenthood that asked for a donation for mm-hmm. a year's worth of birth control. Right. So I was able to give whatever I had, 20 bucks, mm-hmm. 30 bucks, whatever. And right. I got a brown paper bag with 12 packets of birth control.
There you go.
And, you know, and so I was on and off birth control for several different times in my life. There was one time I got a bag from Planned Parenthood. The other times I had a job. So I went, sometimes Planned Parenthood offices are not great, and other times they're absolutely great. They're just like a doctor's office. I've been to both. And, I still prefer going to a regular doctor, but in the end, Planned Parenthood saved me. And I couldn't have afforded it at the time that I needed it. So it's just unbelievable to me that they want to fuck with our birth control. They want to take away our reproductive freedom. And I remember several years ago, when Bush was president, I was talking to a girlfriend of mine, and I had said something along the lines of, they want to get rid of Roe. And she's like, that'll never happen. And it's like, I think about her all the time. I don't talk to her about politics anymore. We don't talk very often. Occasionally we just share texts, and, she'll send me a picture of her kids. So we don't get into it. But I think about that conversation, and I just want to go, hello, it's right, happening now. Here. It's, and you we're know, here. Even if they get rid of Roe, if they don't get rid of Roe, they're still doing a bang up job of getting rid of clinics that will perform abortions.
Right, right. Which just goes back to why we cannot, back to Collins, right?
Yeah.
Collins could switch this thing up for us right now. Now that's only if Joe Manchin puts his freaking gun down. Right. And votes the right way.
Yeah.
And Heidi Heitkamp. I can't imagine that the Democrats are not banding together. Doug Jones is a question mark still, right. I believe. But if Doug Jones thinks for a second,
right,
we are going to support him again if he does not vote no on Kavanaugh, we are why Doug Jones is in the Senate right now. Uh-huh. We, meaning the people. And if you are an elected official who isn't willing to look at your constituents, the people that got you elected in the first place, and say, oh, okay, they could easily turn this on me next time I'm up there asking for votes. Like, Susan Collins is high if she thinks for a second that the people of Maine aren't going to turn on her if she votes to confirm Kavanaugh.
Yeah, she totally is.
Okay. So I went to Susan Collins' office with my notes. I had some notes in hand from other women and a man and myself. And I looked at this 22-year-old young man who was sitting at the desk. And I said, I have a message for Senator Collins. Is she available? No. Well, was she going to come out for me? Me in my tank top and my camo shorts looking like a melted candle because it was just so freaking hot. And I said, I've called numerous times. I've left many messages. I'm from California. I came from California because her decision affects everybody in this country. And my message to her is this. And, I went with the message, like, you don't have a right to decide how I'm going to, choose my health care. You have got to think of the people across this country who are going to suffer if you vote yes. So here are some letters. Here's who I am. Can I count on you to get that message to her? And he was like, yes, ma'am. I promise to deliver the message. Now, granted, I was a little more heated. I was, I think, pretty eloquent in the moment. But then my chin did start to quiver a little bit. And I had to walk out and cry in the hall.
Aww.
Because that's what's at stake, well, it is. Kimberly.
That's what's at stake. Absolutely. I mean, there's so much at stake right now. And it's just... Oh my God. And I want to kind of focus just for a second on Benjamin Wittes.
He's done. I'm done with him.
But this really irritated me because he came out basically saying that, hey, don't shit all over Kavanaugh. He's not a bad guy, blah, blah, blah. So he got a lot of pushback on the internet. And so he behaved like a fucking man baby. And he puts up this post saying, I'm going off the internet and I'm not going to read my mentions. I'm just going to give my little, my little booms, because he likes to have a canon. Whenever there's a big story, he has a boom.
Yeah, but you know what? He acts like he's the one who's unveiling the story. Like he's, you know, that's not your canon to explode, dude. You didn't do shit.
Right. Well,
and now,
like,
you're running the minute someone gets in your face.
Yeah, that's when he got popular because of that. At least on Twitter, he was, you know, everybody loved that he did little canon booms, but, you know, he couldn't fucking take the heat. And, you know, I tweeted something along the lines of, you know, women are on the internet all day long getting death threats and threats of violence and rape threats. And occasionally they have to leave because of that. He can't even handle people in his mentions calling him out because he's defending a fucking perjurer and someone who doesn't understand birth control. But you know what? I wanna switch the subject over just briefly, because we're gonna have to you know, I just have to say, for everybody listening, Bob Seska is gonna be interviewing Jen Kirkman a little bit later today. She's a comedian and she's like so awesome. And so after we finish our thing, he's gotta go run and record Jen. So we have to get to some other things that I wanna talk about. And I want to bring up, and I'm just also saying, hey, listen to Bob's Jen Kirkman interview, because I know it's going to be good. She's awesome. But anyway, so is
Bob.
Yes, of course, Bob is awesome. But he's been doing these interviews with some really cool people. He just did Frangela, the comedy duo, who are fucking hysterical. They're always on Stephanie Miller, and they're so funny. And he's going to be interviewing Larry Charles too, the guy who, what is Larry? Didn't he direct Seinfeld and Religious and what was the other show? His name is Larry Charles.
Larry Charles.
Didn't he direct?
He directed Borat.
Borat.
A bunch of Seinfeld.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So
Bob's going to be interviewing him. But anyway, so listen to his podcast too, because they're freaking awesome. So I just think it's kind of interesting. It seems to me that, you know, we all knew Labor Day was going to be a new kind of feeling, right? Because it's like everybody gets back and serious after Labor Day. So Labor Day kickoff, we had John McCain's funeral over that weekend, which was clearly a big F you to Trump. And they didn't even have to say him by name, but it was obvious that this was by design. And listening to, I don't even like Meghan McCain at all, but her speech about her father had me in tears.
I ugly cried. And
me too. It was just, I mean, of course, you know, my father was in Vietnam. He certainly wasn't a prisoner of war, but, you know, she's a daughter who loves her father. So for that reason alone, I mean, I've yelled and screamed at Meghan, and I'm sure I'll do it again. I yelled and screamed at McCain, but you know, I got so irritated when I saw people, I posted on my Facebook page that, you know, it was a big F you to Trump. And then people are slamming on McCain. It's like, number one, it's his funeral. Just shut the fuck up for one day, please. Mm-hmm. One day. Number two, you probably still have decent health care because of him. Yes, he did a lot of things that I disagree with. I disagreed with so many things. But I also know that he believed in his heart what he was doing, and he was a patriot. I don't care if I disagreed with him. He was a patriot. He fought for this country. He loved this country, and he did what he thought was best, even if I disagreed with him. So anyway, you know, we've got this Sunday, or Saturday is the funeral, and then we have 2 days of kind of nothing, and then boom, we hear that Woodward's book is coming out. And, you know, that's freaking Trump out. And then, boom, on Tuesday, we get the anonymous op-ed, which none of this is new information in the Woodward book. I mean, I'm sure there's little bits and pieces that we're going to find out that are new. But the overall big picture is that Trump is unfit and amoral, and that he throws tantrums when he's met with the truth. And, you know, I think one of the most interesting things about this op-ed is the only policy that was discussed was his failure to, you know, deal with Russia in the way that Russia needs to be dealt with. They spoke about, whoever wrote this talked about how Trump, you know, is with dictators, like with the North Korean dictator and with Putin. And this person complained that Trump was not sanctioning Russia. Outside of that, you know, the op-ed was basically, I'm a Republican and I love all the policies we've done, except for this whole Russia thing. which makes me feel a little better to know that whoever wrote this doesn't seem to be compromised. I don't think that they would write something like that if they were compromised. So, and then, you know, so outside of the Russia thing, it was all about Trump's failure as a human being, basically. He's amoral and unfit. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, and so people,
for anything.
Yeah, exactly. And people are, you know, and of course he's getting, whoever wrote it is getting scolded. You need to step down. Well, or, you know, come out and step down. I think the only way that would be successful is if the entire administration, everybody in the administration left. That's not going to happen. So for right now, you know, this person said that they're the adult in the room. Okay. I think they're an adult like this. They're still Republican. They're still, you know, enthusiastic about policies that are going to hurt the American people in many different ways, but this is how they see it. This is what they think. So this is their ideology. I don't believe the Bush administration was a good or safe administration, but there was a certain feeling in this country that America still had strength and that we could still kick some ass. Right now, with Trump as president, we just look like floundering idiots. Now, that's not to say that I think, you know, my mom went to, I think, Spain and France while Trump was president. And when she was in France, Bush. When she was in France, people were like, why? Why do you Americans vote for people? And my mom's like, I didn't vote for Bush. So clearly, I'm not saying that, you know, the Bush administration was strong and awesome. But this person who said that there are adults in the room, what I take that to mean is, you know, God only knows what triggered that op-ed. Perhaps Trump was just about to do something horrific. And this was the only way they could think of to keep him in line. Do I want that person stepping down and out, you know, out of the office so Trump can do whatever the fuck he wants? No, I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is the way we should run our country. But these are extraordinary times and extraordinary circumstances. I would much rather have, you know, an adult Republican who I completely disagree with in there than just Trump or somebody who's going to do whatever Trump wants. I mean, it doesn't mean I want those people in there. I want them voted out and I want them all gone. But it's like, do we really want Trump to just have free reign with the freaking nuclear codes? I don't. I want somebody in there who understands, you know, I mean, the report's coming out in this Woodward book is that he doesn't even fucking listen when they're talking about foreign policy, when they're talking about Afghanistan or whatever it is. He just gets bored and doesn't want to focus on it. He just doesn't even care.
He has no attention span.
No, he just wants to go on Twitter and talk about how everything is so unfair. Such an asshole. But I do think, I mean, I just wanted to ask you about this because, or at least this is the way I see it. So, what do you have to say about the idea of, to me, the Labor Day weekend, John McCain's funeral, although I don't believe it was planned this way, was kind of like the kickoff to the end of Trump. It may not happen immediately, but I think it's like, the beginning of the end.
I you know what, I've said to you, I'm sure, and to so many people, I think it's the beginning of the end or shit's really going down now. But that was, to me, a turning point because, you know, the McCain funeral happened. He was publicly snubbed, shamed, you know, thrown shade at, side-eyed, referenced not by name, but clearly referenced in the eulogy by McCain's daughter. These people are not welcome. Ivanka and Jared didn't get good seats, and Ivanka, that bitch, is texting during the thing. Like, these people are being called out for what they really are, which is the grifters that we've all said, but they're dangerous. The op-ed piece comes out during the Kavanaugh hearings. The Woodward book, it's too much for him to take. He's cheering on the way to a memorial yesterday on 9/11, and then Bob put up the best meme I think I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yes.
Where they put a baby dunce cap birthday hat on and he's walking into Chuck E. Cheese as a small person with Melania and some other official behind her. Like, he is the process of him imploding has begun.
Yeah. Oh, and that's not, yeah, that's just talking about Trump's personal implosion.
You right, know, we've that's got his personal implosion.
And then there's the breakdown of his presidency, not just his, just him.
Right. So this op-ed, you know, I think, you know, who is this coward that didn't say anything, but maybe they're not a coward because they're staying inside the organization and making sure that, like you said, the fucking nuclear codes don't get pressed by this fool. I don't know. I think it's real close to being over. We're 54 days from the election.
Right. Well, it's going to be interesting when we take it back. Yeah.
And now it's not just the House.
It's
like
the Senate.
Beto O'Rourke is going to beat Ted Cruz.
He has to.
Okay.
He has to. So
we have a
it's, so and then it's Kavanaugh's like every time I think about that, it's like please. Listen.
I don't have the power to jinx this shit. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
People are showing up. They are voting. I am working, and I have been working with the Andrew Jans for Congress campaign for the last year. This is a guy who was 20 points behind in the polls a few months ago, and now he is neck and neck. And you want to know why? Because he is out there. He is a man of the people. He is in talking with his constituents in a district where Devin Nunes is a six-time congressperson who hasn't held a town hall in person, who isn't in person in his own district. Right.
Yeah, he just runs away.
Because people are sick and tired of it. And we people saw what happens when we don't go out and vote in droves. We're stuck with a Republican Congress, a Republican Senate, and Trump in the White House. We're taking it back.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
All right.
I'm lightheaded right now.
I know, me too. All right. Well, we're going to... we're going to have to finish up the show, and then we're going to go over to end another thing. So just for everybody listening, I hope that you'll support the show. $1, $3, $5, $10 a month at patreon.com/startmeup. So we're going to go over to end another thing, which is you need to support our show for $5 a month to get in. We talk about all kinds of private stuff. So anyway, all right. Well, next time we're going to have Claude Taylor. On the 26th.
Yeah, we are.
So we will see you on the 26th. Thanks for listening.
Devil Inside. Wow!